Han har gett vårt val, gett vårt vinster på. Amen. Today in the Armenian church, we refer to it as Hun Baregentan. Hun Baregentan. Colloquially, we say it's the Mardi Gras of the Armenian church, because tomorrow Lent begins. And the word Hun Baregentan, Baregentan means good living, carnival. Carnival in Latin means eating meat, carne, meat, meat eating. Because tomorrow we don't eat meat. Tomorrow we give that all up. And so today we celebrate Hun Baregentan, and we remember that this time of Lent that begins tomorrow for 40 days in the ancient church was a time when new converts to Christianity would become more familiar with their faith. They would go to church every day. They would fast for 40 days. They would learn the faith and learn what they were getting themselves into. And then in general, the night before Easter, the night before the Feast of the Resurrection of Christ, they would be baptized into the church. And then on Sunday, Easter, they would receive their first Holy Communion and be part of the church. Today, most, if not all of us, I hope, are baptized. And so we don't do this anymore. We don't fast for 40 days in order to be prepared for our baptism. We're baptized at a very young age now. However, we still fast for these 40 days. And for some, we think that these 40 days are a time that we just give something up. We give something up so that God can be happy with us. This is the idea we have. If I'm not going to eat a hamburger for 40 days, for somehow, God's going to be happy with me. Or if I give up sugar, God's going to be happy with me and he's going to forgive me all of my sins. I have to suffer so that God loves me again. This is not what Lent is for. And we can talk about that another day, why that doesn't work. But Lent now is a time, these 40 days, where we should actually learn more about our faith. We should make an effort to read the Gospels and the Bible more, to learn more about what we believe, and to dive deeper into our faith, to understand why do we do all of this? What is the point of all of this? We have to remember that Lent today is directly related to and built upon the sacrament of baptism. They go hand in hand. If there was no such thing as baptism, there would be no such thing as Lent. These two go hand in hand. And many of us do not remember our baptisms. For most of us, we were baptized at a very young age. There are some that were baptized at an older age, but even they, I doubt, remember their baptisms very well, let alone think about them on a daily basis. But Lent is a time for us to recall our baptisms and remember why were we baptized and what is the purpose of that. Today, baptism is often viewed as a time when we wash away our sins, we become Christians, we join the body of Christ, and we are adopted as a child of the Father in heaven. And these are all true things. None of these things are wrong. But there's more to baptism. There's more meaning to this. When we are baptized into the church, when we become Christians in this church and the body of Christ, we are literally becoming soldiers for Christ. And we hear this term at times, soldiers for Christ. That's a beautiful thing and a beautiful hymn that we sing at times, in English especially. But becoming soldiers for Christ means we are entering into a war. And we are declaring war on Satan when we become Christians. We sometimes forget this. Whenever, if you have ever been to a baptism for a little baby in the Armenian church, they're over there and we all say, oh, they're so cute. They have the big big cheeks here. They're so beautiful, this and that. And then we put them in white. Oh, we have to take pictures and all these things. Everybody loves a baby. But in reality, we are saying this child now is going to be a warrior for Christ and is going to be Satan's greatest enemy. That is what we are celebrating during a baptism. And we see this throughout the baptismal service, in the prayers, in the litanies, and in the hymns. Those that have been to an Armenian church baptism, and many Eastern church baptisms, but especially the Armenian one, we start the service in the narthex, outside the church, and we turn to the west. Our second or third act is we turn to the west and we renounce Satan. We renounce Satan and we say, we renounce Satan and his every deceit, his wiles, his counsels, his goings, his evil will, his evil angels, his evil ministers, his evil agents, and his every evil power. Renouncing, we renounce. And then we turn to the altar. We turn our backs on Satan. And we profess our faith in Christ and God and the Holy Trinity. And then the baptism starts. And throughout the baptism and the service, we use terms like the adversary and the enemy. And we even call ourselves, in Armenian, Nahadav. And sometimes this word Nahadav is translated as martyr, but it's really the first line of attack in a battle. They usually became the martyrs because they were the first ones attacking. That's why they're called Nahadav. But they are the ones that attack first, and we become those same people as we attack Satan. Then the child is anointed with holy myrrh, and we anoint all parts of their body, forehead, eyes, nose, ears, mouth, hands, heart, and feet, and the back. And if you've been to a baptism with me, I always do a huge cross in holy myrrh on their back. And we pray that the fiery darts of the adversary be extinguished by this sign of Jesus Christ. Because when Satan attacks, he never attacks head on. Because if he attacks head on, we all see it. We know it. And we prepare for it. But Satan attacks from behind when we're not paying attention, when we're not watching, when we're not listening. He attacks us with darts. He doesn't come right up and stab us. He attacks from a distance. And when we turn to see where it's from, we don't know. So we put a huge cross on the back of the child to remind us and to pray that Christ extinguished all of the attacks of Satan. This is also why this past week in the Armenian church, we celebrate two famous saints, Saint Evont and Saint Vartan, on Tuesday and Thursday. And we always ask this question, or at least in seminary, we always ask this question. If the battle that they fought and died in was May, why do we celebrate it in February before Lent? And the reason is to remind us that you and I are going into battle now. We're going into battle during this Lenten period, and Satan will attack us. In today's world, there are many wars going on in many different places in the world. And the world is turning upside down, and there are rumors of wars that might happen. And we don't know what the future holds. But the questions always arise, well, then how do we combat the evils of this world? How do we wage war against Satan in this world? How do we stop evil from controlling ourselves and our lives? And how do we become true soldiers of Christ? How do we become true warriors of Christ? And the answer is found in the gospel reading today. Because in the Sermon on the Mount, Christ lays it out and he gives us the three weapons that we need to combat the evil in this world: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, helping the poor. Prayer, because it is unifying. Prayer unites the body of Christ together. This is why you cannot pray from your home every Sunday. People say, oh, I pray at home. Good. Come to church and pray too. Show us. Doesn't mean anything if you just do it at home. When a general sends his soldiers into battle, he does not split them up into thousands of soldiers and say, just go and attack. He sends them as one unit. And when one unit attacks at once, or he might split them in two and flank the enemy. But when he does this, they are stronger. They are more powerful. This is why communal prayer is so important. This is why we have the church. And why prayer is so necessary, especially during Lent, especially in the church. We do fasting the one thing that almost every Christian hates to do. Most Christians would be more willing to give money to the poor and pray and come to church than fast. Because fasting means you don't eat something you want to eat. Fasting is not, as I said earlier in the sermon, fasting is not a time that we say, oh, now God will be happy with me because I didn't eat that hamburger or I didn't eat that chocolate. It's the opposite. We give these things up because we no longer become slaves to these things. If you cannot say no to a candy bar, if you cannot say no to boba tea, if you cannot say no to social media, everyone's looking at the children about boba tea, yes. If you cannot say no to boba tea, if you cannot say no to social media, and Instagram and Snapchat and all these different things and Facebook, you cannot say no to these things, you have become a slave to these things. And that is the worst type of slavery that can exist. Because you have become a slave to an inanimate object. You have become a slave to something that does not have a soul. You have become a slave to an idol. That is the worst type of slavery. But if you can say no to those things, you have broken away from that. You have become free from that, and you have become free in Christ. This is why we fast. Not so that we get thin, although some of us do that. Not so that we can become better people, but so that we can be free from these objects, and we cannot have them control us anymore. So prayer, fasting, and then almsgiving. Almsgiving is giving to the poor. And when we do this, what ends up happening is we are no longer saying, me, me, me. But now we are saying, you and I together. When we give alms to the poor, when we help those in need, we say, I am going to take the blessings that God has given me and share them with you and help you in your process to come closer to Christ. And when we do this, we are no longer the center of the universe. As I say in almost all my sermons, no matter what your mother says, you are not the center of the universe. You are not perfect. I promise you that. Okay, I know. It's hard to hear, but you are not. And this is why we have these three things: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Because the three of them together make us better Christians, make us stronger warriors for Christ, and we strike fear in Satan. When he sees a Christian that prays, that fasts, and helps others through giving alms, it is then that he is afraid, and it is then that he attacks even more. We may say to ourselves, if I don't eat that, and I don't do that, and I don't do that, it's not going to make a big difference in this world. But for centuries, 2,000 years plus, Christians have been doing this. Christians have been doing this, and because of that, the world has changed. It has changed for the better. And we too can do that and change the world around us. There will be the cynics that say, well, why doesn't God stop all the evil in the world just like that? If God's all powerful and almighty and immortal, why can't he just say with a word and all the evil in this world will stop? And God will say the same thing to us. If you want evil to stop in the world and you want bad things and sin to stop in your life, why don't you stop it? Because you have the power to do that. But we always blame God and say, he should do this. He looks at us and says, why don't you stop it? You stop it, and then the world will be better. So as we enter Lent tomorrow, and we become and realize that we are soldiers of Christ, and we utilize the weapons that he has given us, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, I ask that we also remember our baptisms. We remember that through our baptisms, we have declared war on Satan. And in doing so, we have prepared ourselves to be attacked by him. But at the same time, we have the comfort and the realization that Christ is with us. He is comforting us. He is defending us, and he is fighting with us against the evils of this world. It is my prayer that in these next 40, 50 days, that when we reunite with Christ on his baptism, on his the feast of the resurrection on Easter, and a little bit before that as well, that we realize what we are really being called to do. And that's going to be my Easter sermon. So heads up. What is the gospel? And why is it so important to us? What is the gospel? And now, what is it so important? How is it so important to us? And what does that mean we have to do from now on? Amen.